Pop Health Podcast is a public service of 24-Hour Home Care. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. My name is Gavin Ward, and I'm the host of Pop Health Podcast, along with co-host Joe Zimmer today. Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Hey, great, Gavin. Great to be here.
Great to be with you as well, Joe. We've been on the road together the last couple days. We were at CMS earlier today, meeting with David Sion and recording an episode. And today, this afternoon, we're at the Home Care Services Bureau, which was an organization that didn't really exist a couple years ago, so we're really excited about it. The non-medical home care industry has been licensed, and we're here with two leaders within the Home Care Services Bureau roles. And first of all, I'd like to introduce Yvonne Leonard, who is the chief of the Continuing Care Branch. Welcome, Yvonne.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And we also have Macaulay Fusarens, who is the chief of the Home Care Services Bureau. Welcome, Macaulay.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
We are grateful to be here. This has been just some really exciting news over the last couple years as the home care industry is becoming licensed. And yeah, just thank you again for taking the time.
Absolutely. The way we'd like to kick things off, Macaulay and Yvonne, is we'd love to learn just a little bit more about your background, you know, where you're from, how you got into healthcare, maybe something fun or unusual about yourself that people may not have otherwise known. Maybe, Macaulay, we could start with you.
Okay. Let's see, a little bit about my background. I was born and raised in Sacramento, so I am a Sacramento girl. I've been with the Department of Social Services for a little over 10 years now. I started in the welfare to work arena in the childcare aspect. We worked with the welfare agencies on childcare. And then I moved to the Caregiver Background Check Bureau, so I am familiar with the background check process, which has been greatly beneficial in my current role. I've been in my current role with the Home Care Services Bureau since the Bureau started, because as Gavin said, we are a new Bureau, since October of last year, I think. So celebrated my year anniversary not too long ago.
Yeah. Congratulations. It goes fast.
It does go fast. It has been a whirlwind, that's for sure. But a good one. Something interesting. Well, I do have an interesting name, I guess. My first name my parents got from the movie The Philadelphia Story with Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, cool.
So wow. I was named after him. I do have two dogs at home that are not my dogs. They are my children. So they are my boys. So my husband and I spoil them rotten. But other than that, I don't know. I'm pretty normal, pretty approachable.
Awesome. I agree. Macaulay's been very approachable. I've had multiple conversations with you, Macaulay, and really appreciate the opportunity to relate to you. Even though you're an authority figure for our industry, you're also very relatable and very supportive of what we're doing. So
yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. No problem. And I do, if anyone needs questions or anything, I'm not normally on the phones, but I do kind of pop on throughout lunches or whenever we have high call volume. So you may get me on the phones, but if you need to talk to me, please don't hesitate to ask. Any of the analysts will transfer you to me and I'll carry on a conversation and explain things however you need to.
Very good, Macaulay. And what is the 800 number for the Home Care Services Bureau?
The toll-free number is 877-424-5778.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Macaulay. I really appreciate the background information. Yvonne, how about yourself?
Thank you. Okay, good afternoon. Like Macaulay, I was born and raised in Sacramento. I started my career with the state over 26 years ago. I have worked for Department of Public Health for over 10 years.
Okay.
I transferred to Department of Social Services July 2014 and took the home care services position in August of 2014. It was added to the position I was hired for.
Right. Did you know it was coming?
No.
Wow.
No. Yeah. So very excited. But I think a lot of it was the position that I held at Department of Public Health was responsible for the licensure of nursing home administrators and the certification of nurse assistants, home health aides, and hemodialysis technicians. So there was a lot of similarities into the program, the home care services that we're bringing up now,
okay,
to my past experience. And I don't know if it's interesting or fun, but I completed my first marathon, the California International Marathon, December of 2014, and I've going to do it again this year just to make sure it wasn't a fluke that I was able to finish.
Wow, congratulations. Full marathon at 26.
26.2.
.2, excellent.
Joe, aren't you training for a marathon coming up, or a half marathon?
Yes, I was just going to say I have recently been inspired to try distance running myself. My significant other has completed a number of half marathons, so the 13.1s, and we're in the process of training for my first, which will be May 29th. So
nice.
Congratulations on completing the full marathon.
Thank you, and I always wondered what those stickers that said 13.1 and 26.2.
Yep.
After completing, I now have a 26.2 in my window.
And excellent. Does the future hold some more stickers?
Yes.
Good. Good habit to have there. Mm-hmm. So we've learned a little bit about how you both ended up at the Home Care Services Bureau. Macaulay, I've been speaking with you for a little bit. I know the numbers of staff you've had here has grown significantly.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experience from the start until now?
Yes, it's actually wonderful how much we've grown. So we started and actually did most of our implementation activities with a staff of three. It was myself, Ayana, who is actually now one of our managers. She was our analyst at the time. And then Jamie, who was our rock star support staff, bureau secretary, everything under the sun. And so the first year, it was pretty much just the three of us. And then obviously with Yvonne at the lead and getting her diving in and getting things done. And then we were able to bring on about 10 analysts. I think late last year, we were able to bring on 10 analysts and a couple support staff, additional support staff. So I have to say our team is amazing. Our analysts have literally hit the ground running and learned this program amazingly. I mean, I expected, and we tried to recruit for some strong people, but my expectations were so far exceeded with our team, and we're really lucky. And then we were just able to bring on six more. We had two start this week, two more analysts start this past Monday, and we have the other four starting on the 2nd of March.
Okay.
So then our analyst team will be pretty much fully staffed. And then we brought on some more support staff this past week as well. So everyone's kind of been, you know, in the learning mode, shadowing each other, training. We now have a pretty core group of lead analysts that can help the new analysts on board. Calls have been crazy but very helpful, so we've been shadowing in calls, and they've kind of been hitting the ground running with calls, so it's been great. We definitely have grown, and the sky's the limit. Who knows?
Is one of the reasons for the growth then there's just perhaps more more involvement in the industry, or than you perhaps anticipated, or what would you mind, if you mind me asking, what's been the big reason for all the growth in your department?
Those were actually the positions we were allocated to implement the program. So we were allocated 27.5 positions to start the program off based on home care organization licensure with the numbers that we had anticipated. So one of our challenges, which I know we'll get later in on the podcast, but one of our challenges was not really knowing the true numbers of the industry. And so our staffing was best on our best estimates of that. So this is not our anticipated growth. This is what we wanted to start off with.
And so how many total staff then does the Home Care Services Bureau have now?
We will, currently we have 24 and a half, and we're still recruiting for two more. We're in the recruitment process, so they're in the interviews and stuff right now. So 24 and a half.
And the phases that Macaulay was talking about, the three, that's the way it was originally designed, was to bring on three people, and then those three would set the foundation to bring on the larger number of staff.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Well, great planning then, sounds like. And then Yvonne, I know you oversee the Home Care Services Bureau. Tell us a little bit about the Continuing Care Licensing Division and more about your role.
So the continuing care branch is within the Community Care Licensing Division, which is responsible for licensing all the community care facilities. And that can include adult residential facilities, residential care facilities for the elderly, group homes, child care, in-home care, and center.
Okay.
And there's others also, but that's a high-level picture of it. Home Care Services was placed within the Continuing Care Branch.
Okay.
And that branch is also responsible for issuing the Certificate of Authority for Continuing Care Retirement Communities, also known as CCRCs.
Definitely.
We issue the Certificate of Authorities to the providers.
Okay.
So our adult and senior care program will actually do the licensing of the facility. We do the financial aspect of the providers.
Okay.
And home care services was placed in my branch, and it's been wonderful to have them.
Awesome. She's been very lucky with all the all of us, right? And all of the craziness and wonderful opportunities that have presented themselves.
Yeah.
Wow. And one other thing, Macaulay, she speaks about the staff and how amazing they are, and they are truly amazing. Mm-hmm. But she fails to her and her three managers. They are amazing. They're here early. They're here late. They're on the weekends. I've been here a couple times, and no one ever takes lunch.
Wow.
No one ever takes breaks. They lead by example.
I know implementations can be huge projects, mm-hmm. and it sounds like you got the right folks really invested into making sure this is as successful as possible.
We do. We definitely do.
That's great.
Absolutely. I know one of the things that folks in the home care industry like ourselves are really just dying to know is in terms of the development and implementation of the Home Care Services Bureau, I know we talked a little bit about staff development, but sort of the other facets of developing this this branch, what has that been like, and who have you collaborated with in the development?
So being in the Community Care Licensing Division, we did use that other programs within the division as a foundation for our program. And we actually quickly realized that home care is unique, and it can't be fit into the same standards as all the rest of the programs. And so we used that as a base, but then kind of built our own foundation around that. So we, you know, with things like the written directives and forms and all that kind of stuff that we built into the implementation and that you guys are very familiar with this past year of going through everything, we use the base Community Care Licensing Foundation and then put it out to stakeholders for your guys' input.
Yeah.
And that's been hugely beneficial, and it's been one of the huge successes, I think, of our implementation is how collaborative the industry has been and how, when we ask for feedback, how much feedback we get, both good and negative, because the negative feedback, or the constructive criticism, not necessarily negative feedback, is actually what makes everything better. So that's been huge, and we've been able to really reformat some of our initial thoughts on implementation and our initial designs to be a better implementation and better program.
I had a question for you, Macaulay, mm-hmm. on those forms you were talking about. I believe they're on the web as well, correct?
Yes,
Where can people find those forms?
So I think the best place to start off on the web is to go to our Community Care Licensing Division website.
Okay.
It's the easiest point of contact. It's www.ccld.ca.gov.
Okay.
There you can find, I mean, we're the second link. We're a big alert saying Home Care Registry is now live. You can find our page. We link to a bunch of things. But the way the overall department website works is it's tabs up at the top of websites.
Okay.
So there's a tab. It's the second to the right tab if people want specific examples. And that's our form tab. Click on that. Everything's alphabetical. So as long as you know the form number, you can find the tabs. But more importantly, if people are having difficulty finding things, please give us a call. We'll walk you through step by step on how to find the forms and how to fill them out if needed. We're here for that.
So. Great.
I know that'll be very helpful to certain folks. So, I know you mentioned a success and a challenge previously. Have there been any other major successes or major challenges in this process that you'd care to share?
Yes, we have experienced many successes. It is amazing that we just went live with the registry at the end of December, which is one of our biggest successes, is that we were scheduled to go January 1, and we went on time, in fact, 3 days early.
Excellent.
So being able to meet that target was a great accomplishment for us. We also feel one of our greatest successes is the relationship and the communication that we have built with the industry. We have had monthly stakeholder engagements. We have had to change the format several times. And a lot of the changes that we have made have been based on the feedback we received from the stakeholders, which that is so valuable to us. And we're so appreciative of the relationship that we're building with the stakeholders in the industry. We've implemented a virtual contact center. It's our call center, which has been very successful. I believe yesterday
We almost had 600 calls yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I have to say that we would not have been able to implement successfully at all without that contact center. It's greatly opened the door for technical mm-hmm. assistance and opportunities, and obviously we're being able to answer a lot more questions than we would have before that happened. Yeah, 600 calls yesterday.
And we're trying very hard to make sure that the information is out to the home care organizations, the home care aides, or individuals using it. We'd rather answer the questions in the beginning than after the fact when they have thought that they did it right. So
absolutely.
Building that communication and maintaining it has been very critical to mm-hmm. the development of the program.
It's great to hear about those successes. Any major challenges or issues that you've run into along the way?
We have run into some challenges. Again, it's been very exciting the last year. But some of the challenges that we have experienced is at the same time that we're hiring staff, we're training staff, we're also developing a program.
Right.
And going live. So that's been a opportunity to balance. And there are days that there's not enough hours in the day to balance those.
Very true. Very true.
Hence the long hours referenced earlier and yes. people coming early, working late. Yeah.
In the beginning, especially Macaulay's managers, I would make statements like vacations are canceled for the next year. And the
She's
first time
joking.
I said that, they laughed, and then they realized I wasn't joking. So it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But again, amazing staff, dedicated, and they are so committed to the success of this program.
Awesome.
Just a side comment there. My significant other launched a elementary school, brand new, this year. And it's a much smaller scale than the Home Care Services Bureau, but she definitely had those conversations with her new staff as well.
Mm-hmm. She probably wasn't joking either.
No, she was not joking. It's definitely part of the startup process.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And just talking about the small scale and our larger scale, that was also a challenge, not knowing the home care service industry, the population. That's been probably one of the greatest mm-hmm. challenges.
I agree. Yeah.
We have our assumptions. We believed that we would get about 3,000 home care organizations that would apply for licensure during the first cycle and about 100,000 home care aides.
Okay.
We received information from industry that those numbers may be low, mm-hmm. But we're preparing for that the numbers are low. We're preparing that the numbers are spot on.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We have contingency plans for both.
Great.
Sure. So, and then just going on with not knowing the industry, identifying the most efficient outreach efforts has been somewhat of a challenge. We want to make sure that we reach everyone that
sure.
needs to hear us.
Well, this is going to help by yes. you taking the time today, so we very much appreciate it.
That's
absolutely
great.
And just on that note, too, of the home care industry in California in general, I know there have been there's organizations that have been around in our state for decades mm-hmm. and folks that are used to doing things the former way, where before licensing. And so I was just curious, how has the community generally responded to this new bureau? Has it been mostly positive? Has there been any pushback?
I mean, both, but I would have to say it's definitely been mostly positive. I am so thankful for the collaboration that the industry has afforded us, pretty much, and how we've seen our numbers grow with each of our stakeholder meetings. The industry has been very patient during the process. You know, with anything new, I think industry expected that there'd be bumps along the road with any implementation. We expected bumps, the industry expected bumps, and they've been very helpful with identifying what those are and working with us through the process. So I definitely think it's been a positive relationship. I can't say how much I appreciate them sharing their concerns with different aspects of implementation and the program as a whole, because again, as I kind of mentioned earlier, it's really been able for us to make our program stronger and move towards a sufficient program that's going to benefit not only, you know, us in the Bureau, but the industry as a whole and the clients. And I've been actually pleasantly surprised at how positive the relationship has been and how even with the constructive criticism, which is not criticism, it's just feedback that has been so useful and things that being unfamiliar in the industry, we would not have thought about before. So it's been great. And I appreciate the interaction so much.
Awesome. So let's get into some of the nitty gritty meat and potatoes of what licensure is all about. Money, of course, is a fun topic to talk about for folks, especially the owners of home care agencies and caregivers. With the licensing process, there is some financial investment for the agencies and caregivers. Can you talk a little bit about, so we have for home care aides or affiliated home care aides or independent home care aides, they have to pay a $25 fee to register. And there's also background fees that are involved as well. Can you talk a little, and those fees tend to range from, I think, $50 to $80, including rolling fees by the vendor. So the live scan, as it's referred to frequently. Can you tell us a little bit about the methodology behind those fees?
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I just want to clarify is the background fees that you were talking of.
Okay.
Those are not collected by the Department of Social Services.
Okay.
So we only collect the $25 from the home care aides.
Okay, thank you.
So, yeah. So the fees were determined using several different factors. One of the factors is in order to implement this program, the Department of Social Services took a general fund loan.
Okay.
So we had to factor into the fee schedule, the repayment of that general fund loan. It was determined through collaboration of different state agencies that a reasonable repayment would be 5 years.
Okay.
So that was one of the factors. We also used as a factor the assumptions that we had of the 3,000 home care organizations and the 100,000 home care aides.
Okay.
So that being one of our significant factors. And an important distinction to remember is this program must be 100% completely fee supported.
Absolutely. No additional taxes, no. Things like that. Mm-hmm. Great.
So those were some of the methodologies that we used. So we are regulating or we are monitoring the collection of revenue to determine does the fees need to be increased or do they need to be increased or how that will happen.
Absolutely. Appreciate you giving us a little bit of background on there. I know each home care organization location also has to pay a biannual or once every 2 year fee. With 5,200 and
actually the home care organizations are $5,165.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. 5,165. Yeah.
I guess I had estimated up to 5,200. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Well, so you're rounding up.
So 5,165 every 2 years. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now let's say, Macaulay and Yvonne, I'm a family, that's looking for home care services, or, a lot of our audience is, healthcare professionals in the community. How do we find out if an agency or a caregiver is licensed or registered with the state? If I want to seek that out.
So there's the registry itself and, but with the registry, it is very specific by caregiver. So you do have to have the first and last name of the caregiver and their personal ID or home care aide ID. It's called both things, to be able to look them up to see if they're registered, what their status is, and then what organization they're associated to or affiliated to.
And the other thing with the name of the home care aide, it has to be the name that they registered. So if the home care aide has gotten married, the family looking them up would need to know their registered name.
Okay, got it.
And then for organizations, the department currently has what they call a transparency website. This website allows anyone in the public to look up any licensed facility, actually, or pending facility if they're in the application process, to see when their visits were, if there were any complaints issued, different things like that, including address, phone number, contact information. The home care organizations will be rolled up to that transparency website.
Okay.
So you'll be able to search for organizations. You can search by like zip code or by city. So if you're looking for an organization specifically within your area, you can easily go to that site and kind of get a list of who is local and who you can contact to try to find a caregiver for yourself or your family. We should be launching that pretty soon, I think in the next couple of weeks or so.
Great.
So we'll be included on that. And the home care organizations, like I said, even in pending statuses, you'll be able to look up organizations that have submitted an application or in the pending process.
Excellent. Well, looking forward to that site being up and running. And now the background process for these caregivers. First of all, I'm really grateful that we now have the live scan available for the home care industry. It goes all the way back to birth, is my understanding, mm-hmm. and then any mm-hmm. updates will be given to the home care organizations if things should happen. So it kind of matches the maybe the assisted living communities or the RCFE communities as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's apples to apples now, which is great for our industry. Can you tell us a little bit about, just maybe on a, at a high level, how the background process works for caregivers, whether they're independent or affiliated with
an
agency?
Yeah, of course. We have another bureau, the Caregiver Background Check Bureau, who, as Gavin mentioned, does background check processing for the entire division. So they're very familiar with the process. They're an excellent team over there. And they have dedicated staff to do the background checks for home care, not only the independent aides and the affiliated aides, but also the employees and the licensees of the organizations. Gavin, you kind of, you know, summed it up. The background check process does cover, you know, birth to present day, mostly like 18 and over, but it's very thorough. We have one of the strongest dissemination criterias or most thorough dissemination criterias in the state. So it's a very thorough background check, which is excellent for this industry and our clients. The analysts, and I've said this before in stakeholder meetings, the analysts are very dedicated, and they look at each of the exemptions. If an analyst needs an exemption or a caregiver needs an exemption, they look at the different types of activities on that, that criminal record and make sure that the caregiver is okay to go into someone else's home with minimal oversight, and they really make strong decisions. So it's a really great process. And the great thing about the background check process is the fact that caregivers can transfer between the two agencies, or the not two agencies, the various programs within the licensing community. So you don't have to pay the extra fees if you're already registered or already working for an RCFE or a child care center or things like that. And I will say, we get calls all the time about people saying, that is this person, can this person transfer? Do I have to send them to be fingerprinted? And more often than not, they're in our system already, which is great.
Excellent. That really is one of the most critical factors for the populations that are served by the home care industry. And just having that consumer protection, knowing that their home care aide, whether independent or affiliated, has been thoroughly background checked, and that there's records of that.
Yeah, it is... it is a great process, and it is thorough, and I would feel confident knowing that if I had to put someone in my grandmother's home or my parents' home, that they went through the process. So that's good.
Absolutely. So I guess on that note, in California, there's typically three traditional formats of delivering home care services. There's the full service agencies, where the companies take on employment requirements such as workers' compensation and tracking of hours, attendance, punctuality, things like that. There's direct referral agencies, where the client or the family is referred a caregiver, and the client or the family would take on employment responsibilities. And then there's the independent caregivers that are representing themselves. One of the things that folks in our industry are curious about, direct referral agencies are currently exempt from the licensure process. Can you share with us a little bit of the rationale behind that?
So the AB 1217 did identify several different entities that are exempt from this licensure requirement at this time. The department does see that AB 1217 was the first step, mm-hmm. and that there will be potentially other legislation. In fact, Assembly Bill 1667 was introduced late January, requiring domestic referral agencies to be licensed. It is important to note that they would have equal licensure, but they do have, under this proposed bill, they would have different requirements than a home care organization currently required to be licensed.
And this bill was introduced in previous sessions, very similar, obviously different, you know, different numbers, but something very similar has been introduced the last couple of years as well, trying to get those domestic referral agencies under licensure purview.
Thank you for that information. That's very interesting to hear. And then regarding the independent home care aides, so it's a little bit different than the full-service home care organizations, where it's a requirement to be licensed. The independent home care aides It is optional. Could you share just a brief overview of kind of the rationale there?
So with AB 1217, the foundation was that the Department of Social Services would be licensing the organization and would register those home care aides that were employed by that organization. We allowed the independents to be registered because optional, so they can identify to their clients that they are registered with the state. But at this time, the focus and the connection was with the home care organization. The licensing requirements, an example is there is training requirements, but it is not necessarily the requirement of the aide to be trained. It is the requirement of the organization to provide the training to the aide. And that is our connection to ensure that that training is conducted is through the home care organization licensure.
Okay. Good. Thanks for the review there, Yvonne. So I think Macaulay might have some of this detailed information that we're very curious about. Can you tell us a little bit about the amount of agencies that have started the application process as a licensed home care agency in the state, as well as maybe some of the caregivers that have applied with these agencies or as independents too?
I do. I have lots of stats for you guys.
Great.
So as many of you know, within the industry, we did have an intent process. So to try to help with implementation and to make implementation as easy as possible, we did allow for an intent process, which allowed both home care organizations to submit an intent to apply form, which gave them the option to submit that. And then while they're still going through the application process, still provide services. And likewise, we did a intent process for aides that are affiliated to organizations. Organizations could submit a spreadsheet of their affiliated caregivers to be able to continue providing services as well. So for the intents, we received a little over 1,100 intent spreadsheets for the HCAs. After we rolled up all of those spreadsheets, we're a little over 82,000 caregivers. So we are anticipating, obviously, close to that 100,000 mark that we had originally planned for. With the intent forms for the home care organizations, we received a little over 1,000. And I think as of last week, we had received about 250 actual applications with fees and payments, full-blown applications for the organization licensure. For online applications, so caregivers that were able to go successfully apply online and pay online, we have received 23,500 over that have actually successfully applied online.
Okay.
And we have in-house, we have about 5,500 manual applications, various processing, some incomplete, some not. So we've received 5,500 manual applications. So we're busy. We're very, very busy.
I bet.
And then with calls, just because we like to share how many calls we're getting and how, you know, and how many people we're touching base with. But it's really interesting because we launched our VCC, our Virtual Contact Center, I believe on the 29th of December. So for those 3 days in December and then the entire month of January, we handled about 6,500 calls. And February, as of yesterday, we're at almost 8,000 calls.
Wow.
So we've increased dramatically, which is good because I feel like a lot more people are getting to know us, getting to know our number, and then having questions and getting them answered. So that's good, too.
I'm starting to get a much better picture of why vacations and breaks have been at a minimum lately.
Yes.
Very good. Well, those are some great numbers to share with the community here in California. And I'm guessing those numbers will continue to grow. One thing that I'm not sure if you're aware of, there's been some mergers and acquisitions in our industry as well,
mm-hmm.
Over this last year, and they continue to happen. So there's some shifting on that side. It'll be interesting to see if there's more home care companies doing business with licensure or less.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but we'll find out very soon. One thing people have been asking us, there's a lot of folks out there who are on Medi-Cal and they receive a great service of in-home care through in-home support services. Do those caregivers have to be registered with the state?
IHS caregivers right now are currently exempt from registration.
Okay.
So they are one of our exempt populations. They do have their own background check and requirements through the IHHS program. So for right now, they do not need to be registered. on our home carried registry.
Okay, great. And I do know, like you mentioned, they have been background checked already through a similar process. So
yeah, but what I do want to clarify, because we actually have received a couple calls about it too. Unfortunately, the IHHS background cannot transfer. It is one of the programs that is not under Community Care Licensing Division.
Okay.
So we can't transfer the background check between the IHHS program and our program. So in those instances, those caregivers do need to re-fingerprint if they're not associated to another facility and go through that process.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying, Macaulay. So this has been just a wealth of information for our audience, and we're really excited to share with the healthcare community about all of this information. We're really grateful. We know you guys have been slammed with no vacations, extra hours, things like that, and you're still taking time out of your day to spend that with us and our audience. So it's been a pleasure for me. Joe, anything else you wanted to add or ask of these folks?
Macaulay and Yvonne, just wanted to thank you for the great work that you're doing to really provide consumer protection in an industry in California that had previously been unregulated. And we really view this as just such a positive shift for the families, the clients and their families that are seeking these services, to have that extra peace of mind knowing that the organizations that they're working with have been vetted, and that they can look them up publicly and check their records and make sure that they're doing things the right way, as well as the home care aides that are actually in the home working with them. So I just want to thank you both so much for the work that you're doing.
Yeah. Any final takeaways as we end the podcast? Start with Yvonne or Macaulay, whoever would like to go first.
The one thing I would like to say is I know that we've had some challenges with our registry, our online application process, but I would encourage everyone to use that process. It is a faster process mm-hmm. than the manual application process.
Okay.
But I also just want to say, you know, we want to also thank the industry. It has been an amazing opportunity to partner and to be part of this change.
Yeah. Huge change for the better. Mm-hmm. Macaulay.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for coming out. I know
sure.
we've had to reschedule a couple times. So
no
thank
worries.
You so much
You're
for
welcome.
Being patient with us while we are implementing. And just piggybacking Yvonne, really want to thank the industry for their patience and their collaborative efforts with us. It's really been such an amazing experience. Even with the challenges, what we've learned from the industry and how it's been presented to us has just been a very good experience. If we've learned a lot. And for people, when they call in and they may be like 10th in queue or things like that, and are patiently waiting for their call to get answered, just thank you so much. And understanding that we are busy, but we really do want to answer all those questions, and we want to provide technical assistance. So definitely encourage people to call and ask, even if they think the question's silly. There is no silly question. So call and ask us questions. If they need to speak to me, please have them ask for me directly. I will pop on phones. We have a webinar coming up on Friday. So encourage everyone to participate in our webinars. We did change our format for information. So I guess I'll kind of talk about that a little bit. To try to get more information out to the industry, we were doing monthly webinars or almost monthly webinars. And now we've kind of decided to try something a little bit different. So we're going to do a monthly webinar, but we're also adding a monthly conference call just to kind of share some implementation updates and some maybe challenges that we've worked through or different concerns in the industry. So every second Tuesday or second Friday of the month, we are doing our conference call. And the fourth Friday of the month, we plan to do our webinars. So be on the lookout for those. And to anyone who'd like to participate, please don't hesitate to register and listen in and get information and ask questions.
And do they register for those on the website?
We are going to put them on the website. Right now, we've been sending emails out to everyone on our contact list, but we do plan to post the actual registration link on the website so people can register for the next 3 series or things like that on the website at one time.
Awesome. Very good. Well, ladies, thank you again so much here in Sacramento for having us, and hopefully those long hours and no vacations eventually come to a more routine schedule where you can maybe take a nice vacation, especially once everything's fully implemented.
Yeah, that'll be great, but it's worth it, so it's okay.
Awesome. Well, again, we've had Yvonne Leonard, chief of the Continuing Care Branch with us, and Macaulay Fuse-Aarons, chief of the Home Care Services Bureau, as our guests. Stay tuned for the next episode of Pop Health Podcast. Joe, thanks for co-hosting today.
Thanks a lot, Gavin. Thank you, ladies.
Thanks. Thank you.